No, you're fine.
The Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope.
Bob Hope is here to bring you cheer and give the blues a shoe.
Ah, thank you so much. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob Happy New Year Hope telling you that if you use Pepsodent, you'll have a happy 1942. Or, is Bob, 1941 is almost over, Hope, telling you that no matter how many gags were pulled on you last year, if you use Pepsodent, no one will ever make a mockery out of your crockery. Or, new gag to be written later. Yes, sir, ladies and gentlemen. This has been a big week. We had a big party after our Christmas dinner, and I laughed so hard at everybody making fools out of themselves, the Christmas tree almost fell out of my lapel. And you should see the lovely Christmas cards I received. I even got one from Tokyo, and it had a funny envelope. To open it, you have to stick a knife in the back. But I did pretty good this Christmas. I broke even on presents, and only four of my Christmas cards came back marked refused. But I love the wonderful spirit of Christmas, people exchanging presents unselfishly with their dear friends and relatives. I lost $3.67 on the deal. Force anything, brother. Christmas morning, I felt sorry for the people back east who had to get up and shovel the snow away from the doors of their garage as I walked along the Los Angeles River looking for mine. Oh, you dumb. Wonderful Christmas. Paramount told me they knew I'd go places in 1942. They even named one of them. But what cards I received? Skinny Anna sent out a nice card. It said, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and had Santa Claus and six reindeers on it, all on the back of a vitamin pill. And Bing Crosby sent a picture of his horse on his Christmas card. It shows a horse crossing the finish wire with Ripley as the jockey. But everything in Hollywood is done in the spirit of Christmas. If you get hit by a car while crossing the street, they send you home wrapped as a gift. One pedestrian. I was sitting home all alone Christmas Eve when Santa Claus came down my chimney and grabbed me and beat me up. I still can't figure out where my Japanese gardener got the red suit. But I received a lot of lovely presents this Christmas. You know those defense stamps? Well, the whole band chipped in and bought me a postcard. At a Paramount, they were very nice to me. The president of Paramount made out a check for $10,000, looked it over, signed it, and mailed me the blotter. Paramount was really nice to me, though. They knew I had a movie projector, so they gave me a full set of all the pictures I ever made, and they gave me a big icebox to keep them in, too. And my sponsor gave me some very rare liquor. You've heard of Piper Heidsieck Champagne, haven't you?
No.
Well, tell me, what's formaldehyde? I got one present that I heard ticking, so I threw it right in the bathtub. But I'm afraid I was a little hasty. Now I've got the only clock in the world where the cuckoo comes out every hour and blows bubbles. Jerry Colonna gave me some cigars. What smokes? I'm offering them to the War Department in case they run short of magnesium bombs. I smoked one of them yesterday, and Frederick March thinks he had one foot in heaven. Skinny Ennis hung up his stock and he got a peppermint stick. Frances hung up her stock and she got a compact. Edward Arnold hung up his stock and the B-19 flew in for the night. Sent Ben Gage a beautiful pair of green silk pajamas for a Christmas present, but the laundry didn't get them back in time. And Bing Crosby gave his kids Indian outfits with real feathers. I don't know where he got the feathers. All I know is that yesterday I saw a stork flying over Los Angeles in a bathrobe. And I got my little nephew something to stop him from sucking his thumbs. Just my luck, I waited a day too long. He finished them Christmas morning.
The Bob Hope book has proved to be one of the fastest moving books ever offered to the public. It's the year's biggest bargain in entertainment, and people everywhere are rushing to take advantage of it. And it's no wonder, for here's the dizziest autobiography ever published. The complete story of Bob Hope's life, written by Bob Hope himself, made available at all drug counters. Here's all you have to do to get your copy. Just go to your nearest store, get a package of any Pepsodent product, medium or large size, and you can get the Bob Hope book at the special low price of only 10 cents.
That thing's still around.
Here we are, ladies and gentlemen, with Francis Lang for singing
Broadway Rhythm.
All right.
Broadway, street of a million lights. Broadway, street of a million sights. Broadway, of a million nights, nights of pain and tears and sorrow, nights that promise gain more. But up or down or sad or gay, there's something in this whole Broadway that makes you stand right up and shout, makes you stand. Everybody dance. Broadway rhythm, it's got me. Everybody dance. Out on the gay white way, in each merry cafe, orchestras play, taking your breath away with that Broadway rhythm, it's got me. Everybody sing.
That was Francis Langford and the Six Hits and a Miss singing Broadway Rhythm. Very lovely, Francis.
Thank you, Bob. And, Bob, I want to thank you for inviting me to your Christmas party.
Oh, did you have a good time at the party?
Yes. Those sandwiches you served were very tasty. How did you make them?
Oh, they're very simple. Just a piece of white bread between two pieces of rye.
And another thing, Bob. Those were the queerest olives I ever saw.
I know. I painted the red pimentos dark blue in case we had a blackout.
Christmas tree was really wonderful. That was a novel game you invented, having all the guests hang something on the tree. Your sponsor really enjoyed it.
Yeah, by the way, Francis, thanks for cutting me down. Francis, you're lying, yes.
How did you you like that beautiful white sweater I knitted for you, Bob?
Oh, that was a lovely white sweater, but it was a little loose and stretchy in the back.
It was loose and stretchy in the back?
Yeah, the first day I wore that white sweater, it hung down to my hips. And the second day, it was down to my knees. And the next day, I was coming out of a flower shop with a back dragging along the ground, and an old woman said, "You're a lovely bride, my dear, but where's the groom?"
Bob, did you see the atomizer I got from Ben Gage? Here it is.
How does it work?
Look, I'll squeeze it.
Listen, somebody's playing one of Skinny's records. Same money, you know, you can squeeze it right now. Right now, huh? Tell me. You got to tell him, we don't have a rehearsal, you know. We all come right here from the gin rummy game, you know.
Bob, did you see the atomizer I got from Ben Gage? Here it is.
Oh, how does it work?
Look, I'll squeeze it.
Listen, somebody, can you hear that out there? Well, let's get together.
Who can hear it?
I have to make it a little louder at that, just a little bit. Can you make it a little louder? Huh? Sure. Well, that's fine, that's fine. Sounds like 7-Up now.
What did you get for Skinny and his Bob?
Oh, I gave him a big, beautiful bow tie, but I guess he doesn't like it.
Skinny doesn't like the bow tie you gave him? Why not?
Well, the first day he wore it, the wind caught him, and 20 minutes later he caused a blackout in San Francisco. But I certainly had a wonderful time Christmas Day, Francis.
Well, don't you think you're a little too obvious?
What do you mean?
Walking down Hollywood Boulevard with mistletoe hanging from your nose.
Well, I was sorry later. The first time I walked across Vine Street, I got kissed by a woman driver. How come you got the big laugh in it? Who handles you? Did you see your folks this Christmas, Francis?
Yes, I did, Bob. They came on from Florida.
Oh, really? Did they drive out?
Yes. The man stopped him at the California border and asked my father if he was an able-bodied man. When he said yes, they pulled him right out of his car.
Oh, well, that's awful, Francis. Where's your father now?
Working nights at Lockheed.
Well, I hope your folks dropped around to the show because I have a special surprise tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my privilege to introduce one of Hollywood's most charming and personable young actors, recently seen in Sunday. Just wait till we call you, please. Had television, we could put that in, you know that, don't you? Recently seen a sundown on the Yank and the RAF, and soon to appear in The Man Who Came to Dinner, Reginald Gardner.
Thanks for the lovely introduction, old chap. Awfully decent of you.
Well, you know, Reggie, you're really a surprise guest star tonight. I didn't tell anyone you were going to be on my program.
Awfully decent of you. Really was, I was.
Oh, boy, I'll have you know that I'm not an old boy, old boy.
Oh, sorry, Bob, that's an expression we use in England. Of course, I know very well you're not an old boy. As we say in England, you're more of an old drip.
I'm an old drip. What does that mean in England?
Same thing as in America. Why, I love England.
Well, how would you like to go back inside a bundle for Britain? But really, Mr. Gardner, are you English?
Certainly I'm English. Why?
Oh, I thought you might be one of those Japanese gardeners.
And I thought we English had a corny sense of humor. But you know, it was frightfully sporting of you to invite me up here this evening. I've always wanted to come here. By the way, what is this?
Why, Reggie, this is a broadcast. You see, you and I stand up in front of this microphone and tell jokes, and millions of people listen to us.
Why?
Because they want to laugh.
Well, we're certainly fooling them tonight, aren't we, old boy?
How could one race of people produce you and Winston Churchill? But seriously, how do you like my program? Is it what you expected?
Frankly, no. When my manager booked me for your program, he led me to believe I'd have some seafood.
Seafood? Oh, he probably said you'd appear on a clam bake.
No, no. No, he said I'd broadcast with fish bake.
But you know, there is a resemblance.
Well, Reggie, it's nice to have you here. You're the last guest star this year.
Yes, and believe me, it was a horrible year. Terrible. Beastly.
Yes, it was a pretty awful year. Very miserable. We all suffered.
Yes. That darned Hutsut song.
But, Reggie, I want to welcome you to the Pep Center program. You know, most people in Hollywood have been on this show 3 or 4 times, but this is your first visit, isn't it?
Yes, Bob, I insisted on money.
Oh, you're a comedian, too, aren't you?
Oh, is there another comedian here tonight?
Reggie, you heard me during my monologue. The minute I walked on the stage, I had the people in the aisles.
Yes, you started the air raid siren just in time. You know, Bob... I've always wanted to visit your program.
Really? Why?
Oh, I don't know. Morbid curiosity, I suppose.
Oh, I'm sorry. You don't like my program.
No, I was kidding. Why, I listen to your program every week. I think you're a swell comedian and you've got a great show. Why, it's the funniest thing on the air.
Do you really mean that?
You can't leave... Oh, that's gone. Whole thing. Go right back we go. Whole thing.
Why we're here.
Oh, why, Bob, I was kidding. Yes, I listen to your program every week. I think you're a swell comedian, and you've got a great show. Why, it's the funniest thing on the air.
Do you really mean that?
You can't leave well alone, can you? I've got it wrong there.
Let's try it again, huh?
You can't leave well enough alone. You can't leave well enough alone, can you?
Talk to each other while we try it again.
Your program every week. I think you're a swell comedian. You've got a great show. Why, it's the funniest thing on the air.
Do you really mean that?
I've lost the page.
Why
couldn't
we do that on Tuesday? Oh.
Six.
Yes.
The funniest thing on the air.
Seven comes after six.
Okay. You're a swell comedian, and you've got a great show. It's the funniest thing on the air.
You know, you're going to convince me, Anthony. Where do you want to start, old boy? Oh, do you really mean that?
You can't leave well alone enough, can you?
Wonderful on Wednesday. Hey, Reggie, I don't like your attitude. You're about as independent as an automobile salesman.
Well, it's not my fault. I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth.
So was I, stolen from the Brown Derby.
Besides, I'm a little tired.
You are?
Yes, I was up all night knitting an air raid shelter. What are you doing for defense, Bob?
Well, I'm an air raid warden.
What are your duties?
Well, Crosby has me watching out for enemy storks.
Cold weather we've been getting.
Oh, I love it, Reggie. I made a fortune on it.
How?
Smuggling in smudge pots in Florida.
Yeah, I saw you out with one last night.
But you can tell winter has come to California.
How?
The weatherman has begun issuing fair and warmer reports from his igloo in Pomona.
Well, anyway, I like California, but I do miss Broadway.
Oh, Broadway. I dream of its bright stage stars every night. Helen Hayes, Catherine Cornell, Lynn Fontaine, Gypsy Rose Lee.
Well, how did Gypsy Rose Lee get in there?
Well, every time I dream, my imagination builds a runway. Say, Reggie, you're noted for your impersonations and your ability to imitate almost anything, aren't you?
Well, yes, I can imitate quite a few things, Bob.
Well, gee, I'd like to hear you do one of those. Let's hear you imitate the Chattanooga choo-choo coming around a curve.
All right, here goes. Skiddle-a-daw, fiddle-a-daw, giddle-a-dee, biddle-a-daw, fiddle-a-daw, skiddle-a-dee, woo, woo, skiddle-a-daw, fiddle-a-daw, woo.
What was that extra woo for?
Well, I saw Hedy Lamarr waiting in the station. By the way, Bob, I understand you're making a picture with Madeline Carroll now.
That's right, Reggie, but how did you find out?
Oh, same as everyone else. I happened to be standing on Hollywood Boulevard when you walked by with that sign on your back. Certainly must be a thrill working on a picture with Madeline Carroll.
Yeah, especially the love scenes. I take Madeline in my arms, the producer's watching, the cast is watching, the stagehands are watching, and the director yells, light, camera, action.
And what do you do?
Hope for a blackout.
Well, anyway, Bob, now that I know you for what you are, you're certainly lucky you're working over at the Paramount Studios.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, how would it look for 20th Century Fox to have a 19th Century Wolf? Certainly don't choose my system.
Well, you always play a romantic man of the world, Reggie. That's why the girls all go for you. Don't you think I'm more of the straight-laced type?
What's that?
I say I'm straight-laced.
Yes, Bob, and you do such a good job of it. No one could ever tell you had a pot tummy.
That isn't a pot tummy. Cecil B. DeMille washed my pants this week and he forgot to take out the box of Lux. Hey, Reggie, you're working over at Warner Brothers and The Man Who Came to Dinner, aren't you?
That's right, Bob.
You know, they wanted Crosby and me to make that picture.
They wanted Crosby and you to make The Man Who Came to Dinner?
Yeah, they were going to call it The Road to a Double Chin. Since you're working in The Man Who Came to Dinner, maybe you'd like to meet Skinny Ennis.
Skinny Ennis? Who's he?
He's the man who sneaked up on an hors d'oeuvre. I'll tell you what, Reggie, you give me a pass to see your picture, The Man Who Came to Dinner, and I'll give you a pass to see my new picture, Louisiana Purchase.
No, I don't like the odds. But... Seriously, Bob, I'm only refusing a pass to see Louisiana Purchase because I already saw it.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I went in to see it at the Paramount because I admire your acting ability. And I, well, because it's a great picture and because you do a terrific job in it. And because I was downtown without my umbrella and it was simply pouring.
I've got a good mind to report you to the Chamber of Commerce for having an umbrella. Well, Jeff, did you have a good Christmas, Reggie?
Fairly, Bob, but I miss that good old English plum duff.
Plum duff? Where are you from, old boy?
I was found under a stone in Wimbledon.
Plum duff. What is that plum duff?
Well, it's a tremendous round plum pudding, and you pour brandy over it and light it.
What for?
Well, that burns the pudding to a crisp, and then you can spend the rest of the evening drinking the brandy.
Well, say, is that English brandy strong?
Strong? Why, last Christmas, a friend of mine in London drank a glass of that brandy, and then he went out in the street and exhaled, and he brought down 3 Nazi planes.
Of course, you give Christmas presents in England, don't you, Reggie?
Oh, of course. But when you get a present from someone in England, you must never take it back and exchange it like you do in this country. That isn't polite.
Oh, but when somebody sends you one of those awful purple polka dot neckties for Christmas, can't you take it back?
Oh, no. That isn't considered gentlemanly. You must wait until you meet the person who sent it to you, and then you strangle him with it.
Well, it's a lot different in this country. Everybody's busy exchanging Christmas presents right now.
Really?
Yeah, I saw one guy outside the May Company. The packages were piled so high, he exchanged 2 gifts on the 5th floor without even going in the building. And what trouble they have exchanging presents. What do you say, Reggie? Let's show the folks in the studio what happened.
All right, Bob.
The music, Skinny. I gotta exchange these Christmas presents. This must be the place.
Park your car for the May Company?
Here you are.
Fine, I'll drive it into the parking space. We sell notions on the 1st floor, kitchen goods on the 2nd floor, toys on the 3rd floor. And parts for your car in the basement.
Well, I better walk over to the store and exchange these gifts. Gee, why would anyone give me a pinball machine? I hate carrying it all the way back to the store, and I wish that guy would stop following me. Gee, he hit 28,000 again. There's one of them revolving doors spinning around. I'll wait for the right moment and run through. Here I go. Well, I got all my bundles. I can pick up my teeth on the way out. Boy, is this store crowded. Look, there's Myrna Loy. Hello, Myrna. Gee, she recognized me. Gosh, I hope they let me exchange this shirt. Who ever heard of a shirt tail that stretches out behind and advertises Pepsi-Cola? I wonder where the exchange counter is. I better ask the floor walker. There he is. A young man, young man.
Shh. Don't give the draft board the wrong impression.
Are you the floor walker?
Well, what do you think I was, an indoor picket?
See, what crowd you have here. I had a fight to get into place.
Say, what have you got under your right arm there?
My left arm. What's that in your lapel? That's the biggest carnation I ever saw.
Yeah, the stem makes a wonderful cane. What can I do for you, Seal Nose?
Say, you're too fresh. I'm going to report you to the manager. Say, you're too fresh. I'm going to report you to the manager.
Not me.
Must be there somewhere.
Good, I'm just the kind of louse that deserves it.
Well, you better be careful. I'll walk out of here and you lose one of your best customers.
Best customers? Why, you're the type of guy who comes in here, messes up our counters, annoys our salesman for 2 hours, flirts with our sale girls for 3 hours, and then insists on having his parking ticket stamped.
Look, I don't want any trouble. All I want to do is exchange some Christmas gifts.
Well, let me see. If you'll leave the articles you'd like to have exchanged with me, I'll get in touch with you in a month or so.
A month or so? Why can't I have them exchanged right now, or why can't I get my money back?
Tut, tut, my boy. Remember, we have to take them back to the Broadway Hollywood first and get our money back.
I understand. I understand you're a reliable store.
Oh, yes. We always cooperate in every way we can.
Oh! Oh!
What's that?
That's the manager making a cheerful refund.
Excuse me, Mr. Gardner. I have a customer who wants a refund of 98 cents.
Oh, she does? Well, you know what to do, Ennis.
Yes, sir.
Great work. Stack it up for the others.
Gosh, do you always do that when a customer isn't satisfied?
No, sometimes we put them in the Iron Maiden and then turn their thumbs northwest for 30 minutes. Now, what was it you wanted?
Oh, nothing, nothing. I'll think I'll be going along.
Come back here, coward. You wanted to exchange something, a shirt. Let me see. Why, this shirt has sleeves on it. You sure you bought it here?
Say, I remember selling this shirt. Lady come in, said she wanted something for a slob, 5/16.
Mr. Ennis, remember rule 44. Never call a slob when he's standing next to you.
And here's something else I wanted to send it to. Someone gave me a pair of girl slacks.
Oh, you want them exchanged?
No, I want a film.
Well, how about swapping them for a nice turtle?
A turtle? What's that?
You know, a gopher wearing a bomb shelter. Now, we have a lovely snapping turtle over here.
Well, isn't he dangerous?
No, he only snaps once a year. Go ahead and pat him. Well, what do you know? Shall I wrap up your hand as a gift?
No, just help me put it in my pocket. Another thing I'd like to exchange is this box of cigars my sponsor bought here for me.
Nothing doing. I flatly refuse to exchange them. Those cigars your sponsor gave you are our old, reliable brand. And to prove they're our good, old, reliable brand, I'll smoke one of your cigars myself. What? Something new has been added.
Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. We get together. We had a little thing. What a racket is. The guy just couldn't see a puff. Supposed to do a whole. Let's try the whole thing, shall we? Who's going to do the puffing? Reggie? You do the puffing.
I'll do the puffing.
Well, Reggie will do it. It's all right. We'll try it. We'll try it and get it all set so we can throw it out for Tuesday. Shall we?
Nothing doing. I flatly refuse to exchange them. Those cigars your sponsor gave you are our old, reliable brand. And to prove they're our good, old, reliable brand, I'll smoke one of your cigars myself. Watch. Something new has been added.
We did that better, didn't we? I got all my gifts exchanged. We just made a little larger egg out of the whole thing. Well, I got all my gifts exchanged. I guess I'll go now.
Here, I'll hold the door open for you. Goodbye. Be careful crossing Hollywood Boulevard.
I will.
Bring the bundles back.
There'll be white bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover tomorrow. Just you wait and see. There'll be love and laughter and peace ever after tomorrow when the world is free. The shepherd will tend his sheep, the valley will bloom again, and Jimmy will go to sleep in his own little room again. There'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover tomorrow. Just you wait and see.
There'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover tomorrow. Just you wait and see. Ooh, there'll be love and laughter forever after tomorrow. When the world is free,
the shepherd will tend his sheep, the valley will bloom again, and Jimmy will go to
shepherd will tend his sheep, the valley will bloom again, and Jimmy will go to sleep in his own little room again. There'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover tomorrow.
Just you wait and see.
Singing White Cliffs of Dover.
Now, friends.
White Cliffs himself.
Now, friends, if your teeth don't always look their best, take this tip from me.
Yeah.
Brushing alone won't make them sparkle their best,
no.
Nor will brushing with just any kind of dentifrice.
No.
But your teeth will reveal their true luster if you polish them with the right tooth powder.
That's right. That's what
yes, ladies and gentlemen, the right tooth powder can make plenty of difference.
Well, I found out. What are you...
Pepsodent tooth powder can make your teeth twice as bright. This is a fact established by a scientific test conducted in independent laboratories.
Oh, they know everything.
They tested all kinds of tooth powder, and here's what they say. Pepsodent tooth powder can produce a luster on teeth twice as bright as the average of all other leading brands. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let us once more go to the bookshelf and take down Bob Hope's book, They Got Me Covered. Where is it? I'm sure I put it right over here. Bob Hope. Oh, there it is, over with the Esquires again. Gee, folks, just imagine getting this autobiography for only 10 cents. Oh, I know hundreds of people who would give a lot more for the life of Bob Hope. Well, let's start following Bob's career again. It's pretty easy to follow Bob, especially when the wind is with him. Remember, folks, during the past week, we have depicted the early life of Bob Hope. We have traced his career from the day he was born, when his mother said tenderly,
I have had children before, but this is ridiculous.
But today, Bob Hope is no longer a child. Bob Hope is now a man, it says here. He has lived his youth quickly and luxuriously. As a matter of fact, he's the only kid who graduated from public school with a middle age spread. But even so, we wouldn't mind him having a middle age spread, only it went to his head. Even
wait a minute, don't ask things, writers. That's why I finished with the stuff.
Even his folks began to tire of having Robert around the house all the time. I won't say that they gave him any...
They always come in with extra jokes shoved in, those little snotty little things. All right, let's get the hell out of here. I've got to be on the set at 5 o'clock.
Even his folks began to tire of having Robert around the house all the time. Oh, I won't say that they gave him any hints to leave home, but all day long they kept the phonograph going so he could hear Harry Richmond singing the Vagabond song. Then Robert yearned to go west and seek his fortune. Bob arrives in Hollywood and decides to devote his life to being a playboy. He stands on the corner of Hollywood and Vine and winks at a girl. so he winked with his other eye. And that's how blackouts were born. And so, folks, time marches on. Slipped on a banana peel. And now we come to the present, 1941. By this time, Bob Hope has achieved considerable success. His radio program and his great motion pictures have made him known to millions of people all over the country. Today, he can walk down any street in the United States and people will say,
"Hey, look, there goes Stinky."
His name became a household word. Household word. All over America, in every home, his name became a symbol. At the breakfast table, you could hear,
"Ma, I want Bob Hope and eggs."
Bob lives the life of a typical Hollywood star, in the limelight all the time.
There's
a typical Hollywood star. In the limelight all the time, he is pestered by his public continuously. At the premiere of his new picture, Louisiana Purchase, we find him doing his utmost to beat off the swarms of autograph hounds.
Oh, come on, fellas, doesn't anybody want it?
Despite his success, Bob Hope still has difficulty in getting dates with girls. When he calls up a girl...
"Hello, Lana. This is Bob Hope, remember?" "You remember."
And now, as the old year ends, Bob goes to his sponsor and demands $5,000 a week for next season. He takes the $200. New Year's Day is a big event to him. And one New Year's after another go by. All joyous events in the life of young Bob. Young Bob. That shows how much I need my salary. And what was Bob doing last New Year's Eve? We find him in top hat, white tie, and tails, arriving with several friends at the parking lot of the Ambassador.
"All right, boys, get busy. Get all the radiator caps."
In Hollywood, he met Reggie Gardner, and the two became good friends. They put across many a profitable business deal together. Robert was the man who sat in the car with the motor running. As we look in on Robert and Reggie now, we find them in Bob's house, just finishing the remnants of a beautiful turkey dinner. Thanksgiving turkey.
"Say, Bob, tomorrow night's New Year's Eve." "Say, Bob, tomorrow night's New Year's Eve. Where are you going?"
"Well, Reggie, tomorrow promises to be a good night for studying the stars, so I think I'll just stay home and make astronomical observations. That's a lot more interesting than going out to any silly nightclubs."
"Yeah, I couldn't get a date either."
"Now, don't worry, Reggie. We've done something every other New Year's Eve, and we'll do something this New Year's Eve. You call Sally?"
"Yeah."
"Did you call Flo?"
"Yeah."
"Did you call Irene?"
"Yeah."
"Well, looks like it's tic-tac-toe again."
"Bob, let's call up some girl. Give me your address book." Now give me the key to it. Say, Bob, look at this number here in your book. Ella, beautiful girl, gay companion, and wonderful dancer. Why don't you phone her, Bob?
Oh, that's a dime call.
Look, Bob, what's the use of kidding? I may as well be frank with you. You couldn't get a date if you tried.
I couldn't get a date? Me, Hollywood's largest user of FemSend?
No, Bob, and the reason you're a wallflower is because you have no social graces. You have no manners, you can't sing, you can't talk intelligently, and you can't dance. Just what can you do?
Well, can you play a pinball machine with one hand and a yo-yo with the other?
Look, Bob, the reason you're not popular at parties is because of your manners.
Well, gee, Reggie, do you think girls won't go out with me because of my bad manners? Just what's wrong with my manners at parties?
Well, when you're at a buffet supper and you're introduced to a girl, you should say, may I bring you some hors d'oeuvres?
May I bring you some hors d'oeuvres?
That's it. You shouldn't slap her on the back and say, come on, toots, I'll race you to the chopped liver.
Well, anyway, Reggie, introduce me to some of your girlfriends.
I will, but it won't do you any good.
Why? What's the matter with me?
Well, first of all, your technique's all wrong when you meet a girl.
Well, what's wrong with bending down low and kissing their hands?
Well, that's not so bad, but you shouldn't try to steal their rings with your teeth.
What else?
Well, there's another thing. You should be a little more modest, like that Christmas dinner you gave last week. As soon as they brought in the turkey, you start showing nothing but the truth on the white meat.
Well, you didn't object when you won Screeno.
You know, the English have a word for you. Corny. No wonder that you never get, that you can never get your own girl.
Listen, Reggie, plenty of girls are dying for me to take them out.
Really?
Yeah, but I can't get the governor to reprieve them.
Another fault of yours, Bob, is that you're a little tight. So you can never get the good-looking girls.
Reggie, I'll have you know the girls I go out with are standouts.
That's what I mean, Bob. Most of the girls want to go inside zeros. Say, if Madeline Carroll's so crazy about you, why doesn't she go out with you tomorrow night?
Oh, she's sick.
She's sick?
Yeah, she explained to me over the phone that she has un rendezvous avec un autre homme.
Why, you dope, that's just French, but she's got a date with another guy.
Now I'm sick.
And finally, Bob, I think you did it magnificently. And finally, Bob, still one last reason why you're a social failure, and that's because you're such a bad dancer.
I'm a bad dancer? Well, I'll have you know that Paramount used to bill me as the second Fred Astaire.
What made him stop?
Fred Astaire.
Well, you certainly are a terrible dancer.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Did you ever see the way I do those South American dances? Well, I even got a letter from the government about the way I do the La Conga.
What did it say?
They want me to stop. They say I'm killing the good neighbor policy.
Bob, stop stalling. Can you dance?
Certainly I can dance. Why, for years I took lessons from Philip Murray.
You mean Arthur Murray?
Philip Murray.
Bob, Philip Murray is a union leader, and union leaders don't dance.
Oh, no. Have you been to Washington lately?
Look, Bob, the main thing that's wrong with your dancing is the fact that you don't listen to the music. I noticed that yesterday when I saw you at the Palladium.
Listen, for 40 cents, they should play what I'm dancing.
Well, how would that sound? All night long, beat me, Daddy, with a minuet.
Well, you'll have to admit I do all right on the dance floor, though.
All right, all right. For your information, the bunny hug isn't being done anymore except by rabbits.
It isn't, huh?
No, and I don't think the girl you had was a rabbit.
Now, don't tell me those fuzzy things were her own ears.
Dancing is very important, Bob. You ought to learn to do the rumba.
The rumba? What's that?
You know, that's where you get out on the floor and go along like you got a busted crankshaft.
Oh, I couldn't do that.
Why, you must be able to rumba, Bob. I saw you doing the rumba in the drugstore the other night.
Oh, in the drugstore the other night? Oh, I wasn't doing the rumba, Reggie. I was putting body English on the pinball machine.
Bob, do you think you could learn how to dance in a day?
Easy. Even now I can do the split. Watch. That's what I like about these long jackets.
Yeah, but you should wear pants underneath. You know, Bob, there's someone on the air who advertises a dancing school. I'll turn on the radio and get the station.
When you hear the gong, ladies and gentlemen, the time will be 7:30. And now, here's our expert with a weather report for California. We left Florida, no, will we? And now, the Colonna Dancing School is on the air. And right in the studio tonight is Professor Colonna, who has been dancing professionally for 23 years. Professor, have you something to say?
Yes. My feet are killing me. How do you do, folks? This is Professor Colonna speaking. Would you like to learn to dance? Well, just come to Professor Colonna's Salon de la Danse, an aesthetic academy of the Terpsichorean art located in the fashionable Wiltshire district over Finkelberg's Fish Market. Just go like this. One and two and glide. One and two and glide. One and two. Now for the rumba. Remember, folks, Professor Colonna's dancing school has 100 satisfied customers. 100 satisfied customers.
Hey, I want my money back. This dancing school's a gym.
Oh! Yes, folks, 99 satisfied customers. Well, don't forget, folks, the Colonna Dancing School is famous for its You should see our hostess. But remember, folks, the Colonna Dancing School guarantees to teach anyone how to dance in 12 easy lessons. 6 hard ones or 3 you'll never recover from. Are you a wallflower? Do you stay home night after night waiting for the phone to ring? Just waiting. Waiting for that phone to ring? You do? Well, pay your bill. It's disconnected. Now I'll say goodnight. This is Professor Colonna, adagio expert, ballet master, and toe dancer. But if the glass board is listening, I got flat feet. Don't forget, I will teach you to dance in 10 easy lessons.
Oh, I don't think I'll go there.
At our new low rate of only 20 cents a lesson.
No, I don't think I'll go there.
50 beautiful blonde dancing teachers. 50. That always gets them.
Here we are.
Yeah, let Superman beat that.
I think this is the place right here.
Yeah, look at the sign on the door. Professor Colonna Dancing Instructor. Hours 8:30 to 8:32, so hurry.
Well, let's go in.
Hiya, fella. Welcome to the Colonna Dancing School. Learn to rumble with your favorite number. Learn to shag with your favorite gal.
Well, Betty Hutton, so you work here.
Yeah, who's that with you? Take a look at what's your name?
I'm Reggie Gardner.
Well, I just love a man with a mustache, don't you?
Well, hardly.
Anyway, I'm glad to know you. Are you in Bob's pack or are you a strange wolf?
Gosh, Betty, you're pretty. Say, how about stepping out with me tonight? And what are you doing tomorrow night and the night after that? You and I are going to see a lot of each other, honey.
And the Russians think they made a drive. Listen, Betty, forget Reggie. I came here to learn how to dance. How do you think I'll do?
Well, in the first place, you're not wearing the correct shoes for dancing. You should borrow Mr. Gardner's.
Okay, shoot the wedgie to me, Reggie. Say, it won't interfere with my dancing if my toes point, will it?
No, Bob, it's all right if your toes point. But gee whiz, not at each other. You ought to be like Reggie. Gee, Bob, he's such an opposite type from you.
What do you mean he's an opposite type from me?
Well, his nose is straight and his hair is curly.
My hair used to be curly, too, but I stopped reading Esquire.
Say, where's this Professor Colonna? We want to learn some new dance steps.
It's no use waiting for Colonna. If you guys want to learn how to dance, you better let me show you.
Fine. I'd like to learn some of your American jitterbug dances. You know, where you throw a fellow over your shoulder.
Say, you better not, Reggie. You know what happened to the last guy Betty did one of those jitterbug dances with?
What?
He was shot down over Burbank.
Well, then you better see Colonna.
I'll call him. Professor!
I'll be out in a moment. I'm in here giving a lesson in the art of tip-tickety.
Professor!
One of the prettier turks.
Oh, Professor, this is Bob Hope.
Yes? What is it?
My dear Professor, would you be so kind as to allow me to study dancing with you? I'll do anything you say because I think you're a brilliant teacher. And I'll pay any price you say. Any price you say.
That's your voice, all right, but the rest of you must have been drafted.
Say, Professor.
Quiet, I'm now practicing an adagio dance in here with a girl. First, I pick her off the floor, swing it around, and now I throw her up in the air. Bouncy little rascal, isn't she?
Come on, can I see you a minute?
I'll be right there. I'm teaching Mrs. Vanderbilt to do the shag. Come on now, Vandy. One, two, three. One, two, three.
Ow! 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 I've
got to take off my spurs.
Colonna, don't tell me you're dancing with a woman while you've got spurs on. Take them off right away.
Okay. Think I should get off the horse, too?
Colonna, you puncture my ego.
What? New tires so hard to get?
Well, it doesn't look as if Kelowna will ever get around to teaching us to dance.
Why do you fellows want to learn how to dance? Girls?
No, girls don't interest me.
And girls don't interest me.
I know, and electricity doesn't interest Edison either.
I gotta be careful about dancing. I got water on my knee.
What else do you...
You got water on your knee?
What else do you expect on a drip knee? Seven up? Boy, you sure are some dancer.
Well, maybe it's because my feet are too big. Here, just take a look at the size of my shoes.
Gee, and I thought most of our fleet was in the Pacific.
Gosh, I'm getting tired of waiting for Kelowna. Should we sit here in the outer office?
No, go inside. We don't want this joint to look like Hobby Lobby.
Say, hold, I'll be with you in a minute. Right now, I'm teaching an elephant the gavotte. All right, Al. One step this way. Then one step this way. Now turn. Not very light on your feet, are you, old man?
Kelowna, I don't believe you can teach an elephant how to dance.
Why, certainly I taught this elephant to dance. Just listen to this elephant, Hope. And remember, I taught him to dance. And that Walt Disney, he taught him to fly.
Professor, you get under my skin.
Oh, you get under my skin. I'm running it out as a bomb shelter.
Hi, y'all.
Hello, Skinny. See, we're a little busy here today.
You mean you ain't gonna rumble with me?
No, Skin.
Doggone, already reserved a room at the hospital.
Skinny, Benny's dancing with me today.
Yeah? Well, suppose I don't like it, huh? You ain't taking no girl away from me, pointy face. The worm is turning.
Oh, yeah? Do something.
Just roll over again.
Well, Skinny, I want you to meet Reginald Gardner. Reggie, this is Skinny Ennis.
See, that reminds me. I'm going to send another check to the Red Cross.
Hey, Bob, I got a bone to pick with you.
Well, take it easy, Skin. You might find out a few.
Oh, you can't make me mad. I feel great today. I just got paid a big compliment. The draft board called me and refused.
Well, what kind of a compliment is that?
Well, man, they called me, didn't they?
Say, Hope, I'll be with you in a minute.
Kelowna, stop fooling around. What are you doing?
I'm teaching a kangaroo how to do the laconga. We're having a little trouble with the kangaroo's baby.
You're teaching the kangaroo the laconga and you have a little trouble with the kangaroo's baby?
Yes. Got some glue?
Kelowna, you're an idiot of the first water.
Well, I'll get my rubbers.
Listen, Professor, you come here right away and teach us to dance.
Look, here comes Professor Kelowna now, tripping the light fantastic.
You know, fantastic trip me.
Well, let's get down to business. What do you charge for a lesson, Professor?
$1 million.
$1 million? Does that, anyone ever pay that?
No, but I'd like to see the hat fall off when I tell them.
Hey, Bob, introduce me.
Okay, Reggie, this man peering at you over the hedge is Professor Kelowna.
Really? A few of my mustache, Kelowna. What do you think of it?
Could use a few Wheaties.
Okay, Professor. Now, what about teaching us to dance?
Well, listen, Hope, the most important thing in dancing is to have the right type of music. Now, for your first lesson, we want a nice, dreamy waltz.
A nice, dreamy waltz?
Yes, I've got a record of one here. The Blue Danube. I'll start it up on the phonograph. Bad needle.
Talking like an idiot.
Why not? Idiots go around talking like me. Now, on to the lesson. The first thing I'll teach you is an adagio dance. You come running straight at me, jump into the air, and I'll catch you in my arms.
Okay, here I come. Be sure to catch me.
No sense of rhythm.
Yeah, that Hope's sure Nicky, ain't he?
Kenny, what are you still doing hanging around here?
Oh, I'm waiting for my girl, Betty Hutton, to get through work. She's going out with me tonight.
Why, Miss Hutton's going out with me tonight.
Oh, yeah? You think you're going out with my girl, do you? Here, look at my muscle.
Here, look at my muscle.
Well, have a good time.
Okay, Skinny. Now get out of the way. I want to continue learning the adagio dance.
Listen, I'll give you a demonstration of adagio. I'm going to show you how I can dance with three men on my shoulders. Now get on my shoulders, Kelowna.
Okay.
Now, Reggie, you get on top of Kelowna.
Okay.
Now, Hope, you get on top of Kelowna and Gardner.
Okay.
Are you all on top of my shoulders?
Yep. Yeah.
Now, watch me dance.
Skinny.
Just call me Shorty.
Okay.
All thanks for the memories. You folks who dialed our fun through 1941, that helps from you make 42 the fourth year of a run. And thank you so much. And thanks for the memory of Reggie Gardner's flair, for fun that shed the care. With such delight, I'm sure tonight that British rule the air. And thank you so much. And folks, all the best for the new year. Though it looks like a hard-working new year to help save it from being blue year. The miles are spent by Pepsodent.
Next week, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back at the same time with Francis Langford and our guest star, Robert Bentley, Betty Hutton, Jerry Colonna, Skinny Ennis, and all the gang, and
Bob Hope.
Thank you, Ben Gage. Good night, everybody.